Now going to get into some more Saints talk. For that, we welcome in Saints sideline reporter and my partner on the Inside Black and Gold podcast, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, what's going on today, the day before Halloween, man?
Ah, well, Derek Carr dressed up as Derek Carr today and talked to the media, so that was fun.
Wow, how's that oblique injury doing?
he dressed up as a healthy person, so that's a good thing. We got the candy. We're ready. We're ready. It's happening. What are you dressing up for as Halloween?
You know, I was kind of talking with that Cullen in one of the segments. You know, we're going to be at the Treasure Chest Casino tomorrow, and I'm like, oh, man, do I need an outfit for tomorrow? I might just put a Saints jersey on and then wrap a bunch of gauze around me and just be like a mummified Saints player.
Yes, that would be fitting. Yeah, just have some injury and you will fit right in.
Looking at the injury report for today, good segue into that. Some of the names on there, obviously some big ones still in a Marshawn Lattimore, Tyrann Mathieu. But I also saw your tweet mentioning the only really big surprise was another corner and Kool-Aid McKinstry popping up with a hamstring issue.
Yes, Kool-Aid, you know, well, there's two that we didn't see go off with injuries during the game that popped up. One is Kool-Aid McKinstry with the hamstring. The other was Jamal Williams with a groin injury.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in both of those injuries, what makes them significant is, you know, you're talking about the cornerback position. Well, Marshawn Lattimore, Rico Payton, Kool-Aid McKinstry are all on the injury report. Marshawn and Rico didn't practice, and you're already without Paulson Adebo, who's on IR. So that's, you know, four cornerback options. And you're like, man, what are you going to do if one or two of those guys can't go? That's a problem. And then running back, you're in a similar situation. Alvin Kamara is already on the injury report. Kendre Miller is on the injury report as a DMP, and then you have Jamal Williams. So it's like, oh man, what happens if, you know, some of those injuries linger and you can't get those guys back? The Saints signed Jacob Cabote to the practice squad. They already have Jordan Mims on there, so like you may have to elevate one or both of them if you're in a situation. And then cornerback, you know, you're in a similar, like, man, what do you do if you continue to see this attrition? You're already down to, you know, your third and fourth starting outside corner options. So that's something they'll have to figure out. But even with that, I think this is actually a reasonably positive injury report for the Saints. I think they're trending in the right direction. Pete Warner is not on here. Cesar Ruiz is not on here. So, you know, there are some positives to go with that too.
Yeah, you mentioned that with Pete Warner. Obviously, that was a concern for me, seeing him, you know, get off the field late and look like he was in a lot of discomfort. Really, I wasn't sure what his issue was, but happy to see that it is non-issue. At least on today's practice report, for sure not showing up there. Looking at the team going into this game against a Carolina squad they know well. They faced them week one, and that's when things were rolling for the black and gold. But I know that the mindset and the feeling right now in this locker room, nobody's taking anything for granted or overlooking a 1-7 Panthers squad. There's no reason to look down on anybody right now. But man, oh man, this Panthers squad too seems to be just as hurting as the Saints. And just you look at the statistics and just all over the board, Carolina just not good offensively, defensively, all the way around. This should, and I'm stressing, should be a victory for this Saints team, no matter if fans, I think, are currently embracing the tank right now. But for me, at least, I'm still hopeful they can get back on track, especially seeing like a Derek Carr back out there. But man, oh man, if things can go awry this weekend in Carolina, Jeff, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you got to go out there and win this game. Right, and I think they will. You know, I think getting Derek back is going to be kind of a shot in the arm for the offense and the confidence level that you'll have with it. And because, you know, and Derek talked about this today, and I think he's right. This is kind of what I said. It's like, I don't think Spencer Rattler was playing that badly. I think he was playing like a rookie, and rookies struggle. And
you've heard me say rookie. What do you know?
Well, right. And I say this all the time,
yeah,
to the point that, you know, you've heard me say it. You know, when you rely on rookies in key positions, you can't get mad at them for playing like rookies. You kind of just have to look at it, say, this is what you need to do better. This is what you did well. Accentuate the positives, fix the negatives, and move forward. And the Saints, unfortunately, had put themselves in a situation where those three losses were losses that you couldn't take because you didn't win close games against the Eagles and the Falcons. You had already lost three games going into that stretch that you kind of felt destined to lose three more games. Now, with Derek Carr in there, would you have been more competitive against the Broncos and the Bucks? Probably. I think you may have lost those games either way, but I think you probably beat the Chargers if you have Derek Carr in there and you can sustain some offense, because they weren't doing anything and you actually had a good defensive performance. So I think that's what you'll see again, is you'll see, you know, I don't know if this offense is going to show up and look like it did weeks one and two, but I think you'll see them be able to put up points, keep the defense off the field a little bit more so that they're not as gassed later in the game, at the end of the first half, the end of the second half. And you're going to be going up against Bryce Young, a guy that you know pretty well by this point. The Panthers, Andy Dalton did return to practice this week. He's dealing with a thumb injury that he actually hurt in a car accident prior to last week. They gave Bryce the job back, and I think it's kind of like, hey, if we're going to lose all of our games, you might as well lose them with the young guy. And so you're gonna be seeing that again, which I think is a good thing for the Saints, because I would be a little bit more worried about this matchup if it was Andy, just because, you know, there's some motivation there, I'm sure, to go against a team and a defense that you know well. And I think he might handle it a little better. But a loss for the Saints this week would feel like, you know, I don't think this is a team that is in kind of tear it down, hit the eject button territory right now, because there's just too many veteran players on this team that should be able to pull you in the right direction. If you lose to the Panthers, you're 1-2-7, and you're talking about bottom three in the NFL right there. Like, you're talking about, you are arguably the worst team in the NFL. Then I think that has to change the conversation.
Well, I mean, Jeff, we were talking earlier, you mentioned it briefly about how, like, with getting Carr back, this could be a shot in the arm for the offense. Could the inverse be said for the defense? Could the fact that we're going against Bryce Young, hopefully for the whole game, and the fact that they just traded away Deontay Johnson, they're arguably their best, you know, pass catcher, the fact that you've got a not great QB with not a lot of receiving and offensive options, could this be kind of a good, we you know, hopefully the phrase we use all the time, get right game for the Saints defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have some stuff they can build off of last week. I think the Saints defense played pretty well in that game last week, and when you can't sustain offense, you're asking your defense to, you know, get tired, and then they're going to get gashed late in the game. That's kind of what happened, I think. The defense should feel comfortable in this matchup. They've dominated all three matchups against the Panthers since Bryce Young has been the quarterback, and I don't anticipate that changing all that much. That said, this is probably, you know, in terms of the outside cornerback position, if Marshawn can't go, which I think is a reasonable possibility, this might be your weakest grouping that you've had out there in terms of Noah Debo or Lattimore. You'll probably have Alante continue to kind of play outside in base sets, play nickel when you go to that personnel package, and then have Kool-Aid take over. But then, okay, who's your other outside corner? Is it Rico Payton, the guy who's dealing with a back injury? Is it whatever? So, you know, if there was ever a secondary that can be taken advantage of by Bryce, this might be it. That said, no. I mean, you should feel like both sides of the ball, you have the advantage. You should be able to go out there and dominate. And, and if you can, and you get back on the winning track and you say, well, we got that. Once the first step has to be to end the losing streak. And then from there, you build on whatever you can. But until you end that losing streak, you can't really look at it as anything but, we desperately need to go win a game. I don't care what it looks like.
Jeff, I'm looking at your practice report. Everyone can check out at WWL.com. Looking at the injuries, and one thing of interesting note you make with Chris Olave practicing with one of those guardian caps, and could be an indicator, maybe possibly he ends up suiting up with that Sunday in Carolina, considering his history of concussion history, I should say.
Yeah, well, so they all practice in guardian caps. That's something that has kind of been growing in the NFL in terms of, like, I don't think they initially wore them during practice when they first started that process, and now basically every team in practice wears them. But the difference today was Chris actually had the, you know, if you've seen guys wearing them in games, they have that kind of pullover sleeve. I don't know what the proper word for it would be, but it has the actual, like, Florida Lee and the team logo on it.
Right.
And that was the first time I've seen any Saints player wearing one of those kind of pullovers. And so, you know, that's kind of it's an interesting decision to, if you're not at least considering wearing that in a game. And Dennis Allen was asked about it. He said it's something that's being discussed. If it's going to help him prevent concussions, I'm all for it. You know, it's really just a question of whether he feels comfortable wearing them. You know, I haven't heard from any players throughout the course of them wearing these in practices that it slows them down, that it's clunky to the point that I think it's more like, hey, once you kind of get used to the weight of it it doesn't really change much for you. But yeah, you're talking about a guy that's had 3 concussions in 3 seasons, and you have a couple more, and suddenly you're talking about, hey, is this going to end your career early? You know, so I think it would be prudent to be proactive, even if it doesn't necessarily look cool. I know Tua Tagovailoa is a guy that a lot of people think should be wearing one, considering his concussion history. But no, it'll be interesting if we see it out there, because we haven't seen any Saints players wearing these yet.
No, you mentioned with Tua, I was definitely shocked he wasn't a guy that was sporting that. And you really don't see it much around the league. I think I can recall maybe one player wearing a Guardian cap in an actual game situation.
There's been a few. There was a player on the Bucks who was wearing one of their offensive tackles. And, you know, you don't even really notice it until they kind of show you a close-up replay, and you're like, oh, he's wearing one. But like, if you're just watching kind of the game from the broadcast angle, you're not gonna see it. And so, yeah, but it's definitely kind of a weird look when you see it for the first time. And the pullovers that kind of mimic the helmet. I wonder how many different colors they have when you change, like, to the, if they were wearing the, if they were wearing like the alternate helmet.
Right.
And yeah, like, do you have a black one? Like, I don't know. It's kind of strange, because then it would stand out significantly, but I'm not sure. Either way, like, it's concussions with Chris have become a serious thing to be concerned about. And I mean, he got checked in that last game, right? Like, he took that big hit. He went to the tent, missed a couple plays, you know, and he did come back in the game, but it's clearly something that they should be proactive about.
When you look at this defensive side of the ball, obviously getting to the quarterback, a huge issue, and the team's looking to increase those numbers constantly going into this season. The addition of Chase Young, it's been pretty much a mixed bag this season so far, and everyone I know is expecting a ton from this guy, looking to cash in free agency for next year. And right now, it's been meh. And a possibility, it looks like, you know, he could be an affordable option to keep around in New Orleans. I'm just wondering, have you gotten much interaction with him? I know he doesn't speak much in the locker room, but just how is Chase Young doing? Is he happy? I'm assuming he's healthy, too. He's not on the injury report at all.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, Chase is happy. I wouldn't say he's a pretty loquacious fellow. He doesn't talk much. But no, he's healthy. I don't think that's been an issue for him. And I also think, I think he's been fine. I don't think he's been the biggest issue on this defensive line. When this line has had issues, it's been, hey, okay, you've generated pressure and you haven't gotten to the guy to the ground, which, you know, that's a problem that the Saints have been having for a long time. That predates Chase Young. But the other issue has been, hey, you're stopping the run and forcing pass rushing situations, right? Like, the thing that people tend to forget is, you look at the stat line at the end of the game. Okay, how many obvious passing situations did you force? Because those are the situations where you're going to get sacks, right? You're not getting a lot of sacks in 3rd and 3, in second and four, right? Because those are kind of, you know, neutral downs where you could do either, and so your pass rushers aren't going to be able to pin their ears back and go after the quarterback. And I think when you look at, okay, you're lost to the Bucks, you're lost to the Broncos, you know, you couldn't stop the run. So you're not going to get sacks, because they're not going to be sitting there giving you opportunities to get sacks. So I don't know. I think Chase has been fine. I really think that the criticism of him is mainly just, hey, I know his name, and I'm going to yell about Chase Young. But no, I mean, the defense in general, it needs to do a better job of creating situations and taking advantage of those situations, right? Like, the more often you put yourself in situations where the offense has the advantage, the more often you're going to get beaten by the offense, right? And when you do get a team backed up in 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15, that's where you have to be able to get after the quarterback, affect him, and get him to the ground. And, you know, for the most part, I think the Saints have done a decent job of that when they've gotten into those situations. They just haven't gotten there enough.
No, and with Chase Young, and actually, you know, everybody on this Saints defense, the sack numbers really aren't there, at least for the D-line. Maybe Brian Brazee and Carl Granderson, and it kind of drops off that after that. I know Chase Young's got 2 sacks on the year. We're just expecting, I think, a lot more of an impact. It just hasn't been there, unfortunately. The positive, I guess you could say, is that Alondé Taylor has shown to be a guy that you can rush and is capable of attacking and taking down that QB.
Yeah, I would say, generally speaking, when you get a lot of sacks from your secondary, it's a sign that, hey, you're having to send extra pressure because you're not getting it as much as you might want. I will say, you know, you have 21 sacks on the year. That puts you 10th, 11th in the NFL. You're tied for 10th.
That's not terrible.
So that's not a terrible number, right? You're in the top half. You know, you're generating pressure. It's just when you're losing games, that's where you're going to look. And when you're getting gashed on the ground, it's not really about the quarterback pressure. It's about the tackling. But no, I mean, I think the Saints did a better job in that game. What gives me confidence, what I look at positively coming out of that game, is outside of that Ladd McConkey catch and run, which that's a whole different can of worms. I thought the Saints tackled pretty well. Like, I don't think you saw J.K. Dobbins breaking tackles. I don't think you saw receivers running out of tackles. I think you wrapped up and you got guys to the ground. I think Colin Saunders has been a solid player for the Saints over the last few weeks, kind of gone under the radar. He had a couple of really nice plays in that game. You know, and I think it's just about, hey, you get to the guy, get him down. And that's what I think the Saints did. I don't know that I don't have the missed tackle numbers offhand, but I think even against the Broncos, I think the Saints improved in the missed tackle department. And it was really the Falcons game, the Chiefs game, and the Bucks game that was a huge problem. So I think we have seen them get better in that regard, and hopefully that can continue.
Well, enjoy that trip out to Carolina this week. At least it is a short one, not having to travel all the way out west.
No doubt. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the time. Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, also digital content producer. Check out all his work at WWL.com. Also, my partner on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Be sure to listen to that wherever you get your favorite podcast.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.